Welcome into the Chris Raby Show, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021 edition of the program. We're talking baseball. We're doing it with Andy McCullough of The Athletic in a moment. Great column on the Rays. We'll get Andy's thoughts on the landscape of baseball as we approach July, as we approach the trade deadline. What's going on? I always enjoy visiting with Andy McCullough of The Athletic. That comes your way in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, we broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. YourEyeDoc.com is the website. YourEyeDoc.com. That's where you go, and that's where you set up an appointment. That's where you learn more about the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. A lot of us haven't stayed on top of our regular appointments, whether it's eyesight or anything else, like we should since the pandemic started. And that's why you need to get in to see the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Let Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Prasadi, and Dr. Andrew Royer prove to you why they're the best in the business, why more healthcare professionals trust them than anyone else with their eyesight. So shouldn't you trust them? Go to youreyedoc.com or call 314-966-5000. If you have questions, ask them. If you don't know where to begin, if it's been a really long time since your last exam, ask them. Let their great staff help get you back on track to seeing great. YourEyeDoc.com, 314-966-5000. Make an appointment with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. And please tell them that you heard about them on The Chris Raby Show right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. All right, now let's welcome in Andy McCullough from The Athletic to talk a little baseball. Head to TheAthletic.com. Subscribe, of course, not just the great baseball coverage, but the fantastic coverage throughout sports. Andy, what's going on, man? How's everything?
I got no complaints, you know. I haven't had to, you know, have my hat or belt checked. No complaints.
I am wondering now what the first punishment will be that comes from contact made by players and umpires because players are so frustrated. This is a snowball that's going to keep rolling downhill pretty quickly unless baseball gets out in front of it.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the situation last night with Max Scherzer and Joe Girardi was probably pretty unique to those personalities. I don't foresee that, repeating itself, but, you know, it does create some sort of unique circumstances. I mean, we're in kind of uncharted waters, so there's probably going to be a few more incidences like that. But for the most part, I mean, players have been pretty welcome to, you know, getting checked or whatever. It's just going to be a matter of like how often the manager is going to use his discretion on subsequent checks, which should be, you know, interesting to watch.
I guess my thought is that you've got guys maybe who will be and perhaps rightfully so, sitting around and throughout the game, if you're in the bullpen or you're coming into the game, thinking about how pissed off they're going to be when they get checked.
I mean, I guess those guys should go play in a league that pays them less then. Like, I mean, it's the big leagues, like, you know, whatever, man.
Andy, do you think managers are going to change the way that they ask for checks, ask for reviews? Like, I guess, and I think that there was some hyperbole on both sides last night, but I don't know. Like, hopefully, I guess this just becomes any other part of the game that if it's changed in sports, like even back to replay in the NFL, like when that first started with every score, you'll grumble about it and you'll notice it, but then eventually it kind of becomes seamless to some extent the more and more that that it's a part of what we watch and it's a part of almost every play or every inning or every quarter or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it wasn't for, you know, Joe Girardi being Joe Girardi and having sort of a willingness to put himself in uncomfortable situations for what he believes is the benefit of his team and for Max Scherzer, you know, being kind of a hard ass, like there wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be considered a big deal. I mean, like there hasn't been any other real issues. Most of the players are, you know, sort of laughing or amused. They know this is coming. Like, I mean, if you're in the bullpen, you know, like worried about getting checked, like then you'd like probably should have a different profession, I think.
Handy, what are you hearing or talking to people in the industry about regarding some of the perhaps already occurred, physical implications of this and how this is going to change the industry from a health or an injury perspective, especially in a time when we've already seen some shifts in the rules and how teams handled the IL, but also, you know, with the workload that, that players have incurred over the last year and a half because of the schedule due to the pandemic?
I mean, I think teams are still trying to figure out how to get through this season. I mean, I think there's, you're seeing a lot of players being used maybe a bit more cautiously because there's just concern about, you know, like them experiencing serious injury. And so I think the injury epidemic, as it were, that, you know, the sport's kind of seeing is a combination of like the natural outgrowth of going from a 162 game season to a 60 game season to a 162 game season and kind of how that's affecting certain guys. I think that combined with just like more caution from teams, I think teams are a little quicker to put guys on the IL than they would have been, you know, like 2 years ago and definitely like 10 years ago. You know, there's a lot more of just a quicker trigger finger on these things. And so I think teams are just kind of trying to piece it together as they go and just like hope to avoid catastrophic injuries. Now, like with the sticky stuff getting banned, will that have a significant effect on health? I don't know. Obviously, like the situation with Tyler Glasnow was pretty alarming if that's what was at the root of what caused his, you know, his injury. I mean, he certainly believes that. And I know there's a lot of pitchers who believe him. I think there's, you know, some medical professionals who might disagree per se, but like either way, you know, if you throw a baseball for a living, you're putting your arm at risk. And if you have to do something differently during that process, it's probably, you know, there's a chance something could go awry. So we'll just have to see, I guess. There's no real way to know.
Hanging with Andy McCullough from The Athletic, I want to get to your piece on Tampa and the Rays operation and that organization in just a moment. But, you know, it was already, I guess, to say the least, going to be a thin pitching market at the deadline. And part of, you know, what you wrote about and the case study as far as the Rays go, is this team or organizations who are able to mine for talent and mine for overlooked talent, or talent that you can get a potentially high return for a low cost, cost being, you know, term, dollars. Is there a common thread, Andy, in your eyes in organizations that are able to consistently find overlooked talent and then get the most out of it at the big league level, whether it's by trade, free agent signing, whatever the means are, going internationally? Is there a common thread in the organizations that have that kind of success?
A good question. I mean, I think it depends. I mean, I think there are certain, you know, organizations who have a track record for it. I mean, obviously the Rays are one of them. But I think there are certain executives who have a, you know, sort of eye for that, you know, ability. I mean, I think like Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations in San Francisco, certainly comes to mind, but with the work he did in Oakland and LA and now San Francisco. But I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of like markets for what is, you know, sort of inefficient, you know, in the old Moneyball phrase, like what is, you know, costs less than, you know, its actual value. And I think certain teams have, you know, hit on what that formula is. I think the Rays do put a premium on run prevention, in part because it's cheaper than run creation. It's also a bit more stable, so they can kind of have that base to move on. And other teams have tried to do that. But, what separates the Rays for me is just like their ability to churn through rosters and just, you know, keep guys moving. They don't get particularly sentimental with players, and, you know, that has benefited them. But I think there, you know, there's kind of a cost to it as well. So it's an interesting kind of toss up.
Yeah, you can read Andy's piece at The Athletic, writing about the Rays and the player centric ruthless paradox. I think that as you put in the piece, Andy, it's not just players, but the turnover with front office members, and obviously you're doing something right if members of your front office are being, you know, plucked by other teams, bigger teams with far bigger budgets. And, you know, it's funny also to consider that you know, the guys that have had success and are having this tremendous amount of success are still very, very young in their careers, both the players and the front office members that eventually are you know, one way or another leaving Tampa. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, Andrew Friedman is, I guess, the oldest of the bunch, and he's in his early 40s. So, like, if he wanted to keep doing this for another, you know, 20 years, he probably could. Now, like, I hope for, you know, his sake that he just, like, goes home and counts his money for, you know, for all the, and, you know, and for his sake, you know, maybe counts one or another championship ring. But, you know what I mean? Like, these guys could do this for a long time if they really wanted to. They have found a way to identify, you know, potential leaders in their front office, create a path for those people to, you know, rise up. And then, you know, some like Eric Neander have remained, you know, and he's in charge of the baseball operations department. But you look at, you know, Chaim Bloom, who was sort of the co-GM with Neander for several years after Friedman left. He's now running the Red Sox. You know, James Click, who was their AGM, he's now running the Astros. And, you know, if you look in the standings, you know, the teams near the top, it's the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Astros, you know, and the Rays. Now, like in the case of, you know, the Red Sox and the Astros and really the Dodgers, all those guys inherited a lot of talent, but they've also made moves on the periphery that have, you know, kind of improved their roster. And so there's a continuity there that I think is impressive.
I want you to see clearly. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be able to enjoy life knowing that your eyes are getting the best care possible. And that's where the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates come in. We are so proud to broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. The doctors are at youreyedoc.com. That's where you can find out more about Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Bersatti, and Dr. Andrew Royer. That's where you can, you know, start your journey to better eyesight, whether it's just getting in for routine exams, if it's taking care of your contacts and glasses, your prescription, if it's asking questions about LASIK, they do it all. The doctors at Ophthalmology Associates want to earn your business. They've earned the business of more medical professionals in the St. Louis area than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust them with your eyes? Go to youreyedoc.com, then give them a call at 314-966-5000. Chat with their great staff. Tell them what your situation is. Be honest. Like, even if it's been a year or more, couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years since your last annual exam, get in to see them, whether it's in the office or over telehealth. 314-966-5000. And please tell the doctors that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with Danny Mac. .com. You list the organizations where there are Rays front office members or maybe, you know, Rays graduates, Tampa graduates, so to speak, littered throughout the league. There are players littered throughout the league as well. If this formula or if what the Rays are doing is out there, and if the, you know, fingerprints of the construction and the success of the organization is spread all over the league, why haven't we or have we seen more teams have success or more teams have success, even if not, you know, going full Ray, so to speak, Andy?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, you need to have a good manager. You need to have a good pitching coach. You need to have buy-in from your players. You need to have good scouts. You need to have good evaluators. You need to have good analysts. You need to have good front office guys who can execute trades, and you need to be able to find good players. I mean, like, it seems simple, but it's very, very difficult, I think.
So how do they maintain so much continuity with so much churn?
Well, I mean, it, you know, they have an owner, Stu Sternberg, who for all of the, I think, rightful criticism he takes for the amount of money he spends on his team, has also created an environment where the front office executives do not feel pressured to move outside, you know, they do not feel pressured to make decisions, I guess, for the most part, and are able to, you know, think about problems creatively and, you know, then solve them. And they've had a lot of continuity with Sternberg and, you know, his sort of chief lieutenants, Matt Silverman, who's been in charge there for, you know, I think more than 15 years now. You know, and when Andrew Friedman left, you know, Chaim Bloom and Eric Neander sort of moved up. And when Bloom left, Neander kind of took over as the chief executive. And he's a guy who's been raised in the organization, who people around the game have a ton of respect for, and they have continuity there. You know, they have continuity with Kevin Cash, who's been their manager for a long while. They have, you know, continuity with Kyle Snyder, who's been the pitching coach there for a long while. And before that was the pitching coordinator. So he worked with guys in the minors, you know, and they have this installed from the bottom up. You know, they tend to treat their scouts a little bit better than other teams do. They pay their scouts a little bit better than other teams do in some cases. You know, they do a good job on the margin with things that allows them to kind of keep the machine humming. But it's certainly not an easy thing to just, you know, start, I guess. You have to, you know, a lot of time goes into this. A lot of, you know, building goes into this.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier said than done, Andy, to make decisions that aren't rooted in emotion, right? Like even for the casual baseball fan who might not be super plugged into Tampa, might not realize how beloved, I believe is the word you use, you know, Colin McHugh was Charlie Morton was, and the decision last year to allocate that money elsewhere, spread that money out, and you detail kind of the dominoes that fell after that. I wonder, in the financial landscape that we're in right now, like you mentioned Max Scherzer earlier, perfect example. What will Washington do, not just leading up to the deadline, but this offseason with a guy who has been, you know, for all intents and purposes, the face or one of the faces of that franchise, of that city. They win the World Series. They're trying to, you know, get fans back into the ballpark or, you know, continue to drive revenue. And then they're going to have this decision, an albatross of a contract for a guy who will be, you know, on the wrong side of 30. Do they wait for someone else to come in and take him? The Cardinals got lucky with what the Angels did for Albert Pujols. And there will be a lot of those decisions, but a lot of teams who would be, you know, in a different world or 3, 4, 5 years ago in a different financial, I guess, position to make a decision. Like, do we keep Scherzer? Do we cut bait? Do we piss off the fans? Like, the Rays just don't really, as you say, give a shit about any of that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to because they don't really have fans. They don't, you know, they don't have to make decisions that, you know, other, like the Rays have to make very, very difficult decisions, but they will never have to make a decision like, you know, John Mozeliak did in, you know, after 2011, when it was like, you know, do I try and lobby my owner to keep Albert Pujols, essentially, you know, because the Rays will never be in a position where they're forced to commit to a player for, or, you know, forced to even offer a deal like that, I guess, because there's going to be no real public pressure for it. There was obviously, you know, a ton of people in St. Louis didn't want Pujols to go. So yeah, I mean, in some ways it benefits them, but I think, you know, the main thing that, like, you know, if you're an executive in baseball, you know that the most inefficient way to spend money is on the free agent market. You are paying for past performance. We've known this for years and years and years and years, and teams still behave irrationally pretty much every winter. The Rays just don't do that. Like, they just don't engage in it. And, you know, for better or worse, that's been their philosophy. It's, you know, I don't think it's the way that all teams should operate. I don't particularly care. But, you know, if I had to, you know, give my opinion, I think teams should try and spend because, you know, fans like famous players. But if you're looking in terms of just what's the most efficient way to spend money, you shouldn't really spend a dime in free agency, at least on multi-year deals. They're not worth it.
Yeah, the pitching and like the Cardinals, you know, got bailed out by the Angels. I wonder how many teams will be left to bail out with that big deal and how that will change maybe the rate at which guys are even perhaps accepting qualifying offers, Andy, because, you know, that wasn't even something that was happening until a few years ago. I think Colby Rasmus was maybe the first guy. And now how that will change the landscape of things, especially post-pandemic and in a new era of payroll spending for teams in free agency.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, a couple guys took the qualifying offer this year, you know, Kevin Gausman and Marcus Stroman, both of whom are having very, very good seasons. So, you know, guys are willing to bet on themselves for, you know, for that one season. I think it will be interesting to see how teams spend this winter with, you know, the CBA coming, you know, expiring and a potential work stoppage looming. So, you know, that's going to slow down the market probably. So maybe guys will be more willing to take qualifying offers, but also, you know, teams may be less willing to give them. It's just kind of the give and take. We'll see what happens.
Andy McCullough, you can read the fantastic piece on Tampa and the way the organization continues to just have success. It's at theathletic.com. All of the great baseball coverage and all of the great coverage throughout sports. Subscribe to The Athletic and give Andy a follow on Twitter at By McCullough. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work and always enjoy chatting with you, Andy. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Huge thanks to Andy. Big thanks to Ophthalmology Associates. YourEyeDoc.com is the website. We broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. We'll be back with you tomorrow. More baseball. Our guy Casey Stern will talk a little Islanders hockey and some NBA as well. Until then, Chris Raby saying this has been the Chris Raby Show. Be nice to each other, and as always, peace.